This is a Pinball News production.
So hello everybody. I hope you are doing well and you are having as much fun as the pinball at the Pinball Expo as I do have. It's again an exciting Pinball Expo, and I would like to be a little part of this. And there are many presentations over here. And we already saw some funny things with Roger Sharp right now, and now you see some funny parts from me. I am not on the pictures, but these are some funny stories that I would like to tell. I have also have a lot of giveaways here, which Ramona has in the back and can present while I'm speaking, can put them there. And at the end of the speech, please come over and everybody can take one. These are Safecracker tokens. These are promo plastics and different other nice and unique things. I am Martin, and I am addicted to pinball since being whatever 14 or something like that. And even before, I was addicted to coin op. When I was a very little child, I always tried to fetch coins from the gumball machines and whatever. So I was very much addicted to coin op when being very young. And I got my first coin-op game when I was 13, 14, my first pinball with 18. And the mid-90s, around the mid-90s, when we got our own house, I started to collect games. I learned to know some nice people. In 96, we founded the German Pinball Association, so that's 20 years anniversary right now. So we started because we said at that time, it was almost pre-internet, the most important things is to connect the people to each other. They have the people that have the same ideas and the same hobby, and they can help each other with the game. So I started to run the address list, and we made a club later on. So the first story I like to tell you is a funny story that happened to me when at the time where the games were incredibly cheap. This is nothing compared to now. And this is one of the stories when I was already a little bit late to buy games, and this is one of the stories that happened when I was buying games. So first questions, do you remember when and where you bought every of your games that you have as house? So I have 70 games, and I would say I remember most of them, but on some games I have absolutely no memory. It's more than 20 years ago. I always scratch my head, where the hell did I get this game from? So I don't remember. I'm very sad that I don't remember. Also the other way, so on some games I can't remember to whom I sold these games. So the memory passes by with us being so long in pinball. Now the story. That I have, I remember is special situations where you fetched a pinball game like a barn or something. Probably many of you remember games where you put them from the trash or somewhere. For example, I took a game, an Earthshaker, from our local trash yard. It was set up between TV machines, lots of TVs over there, and in the middle of the TVs was on the legs with just folded down head. Was an Earthshaker game. I didn't see this. My wife did see this, so we brought our trash over there. We stepped into the car, and my wife said, you have seen that pinball machine over there? I said, what? there's a pinball machine over there. You have seen it. Why didn't you take it? I said, no, I did not. So I ran out of the car. It was already 5 minutes before closing, and I said, wow, there's an Earthshaker. The bad thing, I already had a Gottlieb Jungle in my car, so I couldn't fit a game into. I ran over to these guys. Can you leave it a little bit open for longer? I need to take this game. Is it okay? And they said, okay, yeah, we are relaxed. So I drove home fast throughout the game, called my son by driving home, came back to this yard, and yes, I took the legs off, took the game into the car. And while going shopping, I opened the cash box. There were already more than $25 in it. and in the game, later we plugged in the game, it was fully working. There was zero bulb which was not working. It was just that the people lost the key and had not the game set up on free play, and it was on German mark still, so they had no more money to put in, and then probably it rested somewhere for a while. And so I got this game that was amazing. It was just playing. Of course, I put new rubber in everything, but it was a working game. So these are all crazy things that you remember sometimes when you found a game at a special place. So that this story I would like to tell you now is one of my favorite stories, and I still remember that very well. It was in probably around April. I don't know the day exactly, but I checked the weather from that year. It probably was the beginning of April in 2000. And what you expect in April, the winter is over. In Munich, it was already warm. There was no snow since a while. Everything is good. The only thing for that day was a heavy storm and rain was announced. But I said, it's good to fetch pinball games. If you get a bargain somewhere, you will go there and you don't wait too long. I waited too long for already before sometimes, and then the games were gone already. So me and my friend Klaus, we planned for another bargain trip, which is in Bavaria, around 100 miles away from my hometown. We had to drive this distance here. We rented a trailer, and I took my Ford Galaxy, which I still have. So this is the van. I still own it, 18 and a half years now. It's a Ford. It's a co-production, had been a co-production between Ford, Volkswagen, and Seat. Very nice car. Roger already went with it. So together I ran with this car and a trailer. Not this one, this is my tiny trailer now. At that time it was much bigger. Big trailer behind. And when we arrived at this operator, it was already heavily raining, really. Cats and dogs. Amazing. But nevertheless, when you want to patch pinball, it doesn't matter. You forget about everything. So there was heavy rain, and when we arrived at this operator, a poor F-14 Tomcat was standing out there in the rain. It was fully set up. It was just fully raining on this poor game. I said, wow, this can't be. Is this possible to a complete game? So we asked this operator, can we get this game? He said, yes, you can get it for free. It's just there. It was hanging in a jeans door from the ceiling, and they replaced the back glass with the plexi, so because they didn't want the glass to fall down. And the head was attached with two big wooden bars and with whatever, 20 screws. So we had no tools, no nothing. Now how to remove these wooden bars and to get fold down the back box. And I found I have this typical trolleys that I don't know how they call them. In German we call them Zackzahre, so two wheels and you move around. So I used it like this and put it in between, and finally could remove the ropes and the bars and put loaded this. So that game was for free. A Terminator 2 we put into the trailer as well. It was around $250, so very cheap. My Star Trek TNG, which I still have from that opportunity, it has had no coin door. It was like new, always no game. It was $150. Okay, one flipper was missing, very, very bad. One flipper bed was missing. And a nice fun house for around 200, so very cheap. But the trailer was heavy already at that time. So we had these games loaded into the trailer, but actually F-14 was very heavy because it was filled with water like this, and when we moved it over, the water drained out. Okay, so then he said, the roadshow you want to fetch, it's only a little bit away, so no problem. You can take the car and come behind me. Only a few miles away. So we sat in the Galaxy and followed him, this guy, where he was driving in his car, into the darkness. So he had a four-wheel drive. I think it was a Pajero, I don't know exactly, but a car similar like this. And we are having our Galaxy with the heavy trailer behind. You can imagine, I just had to give full throttle to follow this guy. Okay, so then the things went worse because after a mile or so, the road was heavily climbing. So we both in the car and this guy was going in front. This is in Deggendorf, it's close to the Bavarian forest, and that's just going uphill. So even worse, a few miles later on top of when you enter the Bavarian forest, there's a kind of little pass. And he all of a sudden turned left without even putting the lights on. He turned left, and I said, "Oh God, my God, I have to go behind him." Okay, behind this guy, and then we saw a sign, which said "Military Safety Area: Do Not Enter." So I said, oh my goodness, where are we going? Something like, so a sign written in German like this. And this is a good example I found in the internet, actually, with even with a hole shot in. Said, oh my God, where are we going with this crazy guy? Okay, the road got smaller then. And we were driving fast, 40, 50 miles per hour, I don't know, fast, very fast. And after a short time, the road became icy. Icy means that was heavily snowing before. So on the road, you have it was flat with snow, and you had two kinds of canals from all the cars driving over it. And that was like ice, heavily raining, the water come flowing down from front, and we driving 50 miles per hour with a heavy trailer. So now you can imagine, left and right of the street were snow walls like high like this, just from the end of the winter. And that's, how can that be in April? But of course it was higher, I didn't think about that, and this guy probably as well. So this is just an example of a snow road, but it was much worse than that. This is only a nice picture, it was worse. Okay, so what do you do when you ride that fast? You have pins in there in the trailer, you would not step on the brake while you're running that fast. So that's not seen. So I just said, okay, I try to follow this guy. I hope this road goes down and not more up like that. So it was snow on the street, and unfortunately, the road became steeper and steeper and steeper. And finally, my movement came to an end. So the wheels were turning, and just no way to go forward. This guy was already gone, actually, with his four-wheel drive. He did not even recognize whatever, I don't know. So no movements. Standing in the middle of nowhere, we had run already for maybe a mile or so on this icy road, I don't know. It was just nowhere. And then I tried to stop the car with a handbrake and see, and it was going backwards. So that was not enough traction. So I needed to even turn down the engine and then have the key or just put on the foot brake. It was just moving down. Okay, and you know, I was not feeling good. It was raining. You couldn't see outside nothing. It was raining, only the snow left and right, but nothing else, raining heavily. Okay, very bad. Okay, this is a picture of my car in winter. It looked like that probably. So after a while, this guy came down heavily in the rain. I think he had an umbrella, I don't know. And he said something like, I did not remember that we had ice and snow over here. Probably, yeah, with a four-wheel drive car, he did not recognize that. Yeah, crazy. Okay, so what to do? He did not want to drive down further. I said, okay, we need to back up. Okay, 1 mile. Raining. I said, what is the chance? Okay. So I started losing the brake a little bit, but you can imagine the trailer has different distance of the wheels than cars. So it was always pushing left or right or left or right or left or right. You couldn't go further than maybe 2, 4, 5 meters. And then you needed to wait to go back. So my friend and this guy stepped down and they constantly had to push the trailer back on the street. Permanently, and standing, and you know, these were the canals, I was standing in there, and the water was flowing. I saw the water running through the shoes of my friends. I said, wow, this is really bad. It was really bad. I told my wife, now, finally, after that long time, she looked at this like, what's that? What happened there? Then I was honest and told this before, and whatever. It took very long time. When we went down, it was dark, raining, and it did not come to an end. So I decided this can't go the whole night, whatever, it was dark and night. So then there came a curve at the street. I said, okay, I go fast and I push the trailer in the snow and we see what happens, whether it breaks the car or it steps out, whatever. I said, at the curve, at the trailer is good. So I pushed hard the trailer into the deep snow and then we could, for whatever, we could unhook the trailer. And then the next thing is I had to go down, all downhill then. And you know, the backlights are not very lit up. In a dark forest, you don't see much. Yes, it's not comparable to the front lights. So I had to go down there and then reverse the car, go back uphill, reverse again onto the trailer. Yes, and we managed somehow to rehook the trailer and push it out of the snow. I can't remember how that worked. And finally, with the trailer down, I could easily bring it down and go back up, fetch my friend. And then we went over. That was a military bunker. It was a military area where they stored ammunition for a long time. Therefore, it was very far away from any civilization. And in this area, he had stored U.S. cars from the 50s and 60s and something like that, and some pinball machines, Star Trek Next Generation and this roadshow. Actually, we did not get the Star Trek. We should have taken that as well, because next week it was sold then. Okay, so what was, my friend was wet until just everything, until the skin, very cold. And we went first to the next McDonald's and bought 1 gallon of coffee, I don't know how much, to unfreeze him. And our way, the way back was very bad then because the storm was heavily blowing and my car was just running 60 miles per hour maybe on the highway and you can ride, but that was full throttle because the storm came from front. Nevertheless, we saved the games and my Star Trek, this is a part, one picture of my game room and then here one of the Star Trek Next Generation switches there. This is the game I still own from that thing and every time I see it, I remember that story. That was really a hard pinball story, but a story you will not forget. Things that work well, you don't remember, and things that go like wild like that, you remember. Okay. So that was story number one, and another. Now we continue with another weird story. Let's see where it is. This is, as this has anniversary, I do this. I did this once at Pinball Expo, but unfortunately, this is a set of 40 slides, and I did a review with Ted Estes at that time. He was working at Cisco, so we did this in his office on a PowerPoint, US version of PowerPoint, and for whatever reason, 20 slides got lost. And when I did the presentation, all of a sudden it ended, and I had the rest of the slides were gone. So now I reassembled my original version with the TED reviewed version, and this is the final version. So, questions. What do have following things in common? A construction site where there shouldn't be one. 15 tons of steel, wood, glass, and electronics. You remember, you can imagine what that is. A Dutchman sleeping in your bed. 200 crazy people chasing little steel balls. Strange and noisy sounds coming out of more than 200 loudspeakers. I answer the questions. I will unveil this. So that is the European Pinball Championship 2006 organized in Munich. I was the European Championship, that means I organized the tournament, I ran the show, I just had lots of people to help, but everything went over me. There was nobody else who wanted to take responsibility, so I took everything. I was also the president of the German Pinball Association at that time. It was just my second big show. I had one before in Munich, in the same location 3 years before. We had a location that went very smooth. But we, at that time, we started to run the European Pinball Championship Series, which is still existing, and that was the second time it took place. And I said I would like to do this in Munich. So we see this nice flyer that we had there, based on Cactus Canyon, done by a friend of mine. So this is a short history. As I said, in 1996, we founded. We had the first convention in Germany and we started to found the German Pinball Association 20 years ago exactly. And in 2000, we ran in the first German Open Pinball Championship in Cologne. And in 2003, we had the first time a big show in Munich. And in 2004, in Sweden, it was decided by Netherlands, Germany, and Sweden that we start to run a European Pinball Championship Series. So the first one was in the Netherlands, and you see this EPC logo was done by the Dutch people, and in 2006. So that is the schedule I had was in spring 2005. I got the dates, and in the summer I did the planning of machines and for the location, we also had to pay in advance because this is a commercial location. You have to pay in advance for almost a year ahead of schedule. We set the website up in early 2006, and I put a list of who's in charge of what area of the setup and everything. This went all well so far. And tournament rules were redesigned, and we started to come up with the idea of the Pinball 2000 tournament, the same tournament that was won in 1999, a few days before the bad day. And luckily at that time, the program was refound. The program was refound for the Pinball 2000 tournament, where you had a barcode reader and you can step up on the machine and identify as a player. Very nice. So we got the code for it. We modified it a little bit that you can play on Revenge and Star Wars. Not only on Star Wars Episode 1. And then in March, we started to collect games from certain different locations. And then from starting April, I was busy every weekend. So far, nothing special about this. You all know this. Whenever you have organized something, you know this. Okay, so everything is okay. That's the plan now. You can see I did a floor plan with paperwork, not on a PC. So these are all little tiny pinball machines I cut out, and I have drawn a floor space and try to find how many games to put here in this room and how many in the other room. And first question here on this picture, where is the mistake of this picture? Where is the problem? No, the problem is that here, right here, yeah, you can take out the glass, but when the players are standing there, especially when the good players from Sweden and Netherlands were standing there, they were very much upset because people were stepping over their feet because they wanted to come to one tournament area to the other. That was really a big mistake. I should have seen this on this, but you don't know actually how many meters is it between one game and the other. So that caused some pain later on during the tournament. But nevertheless, not so bad. So we had around 170 games. It was at that time really a very big convention. You see 48 games of mine and 25 of a friend and the rest from some other people. Overall, we had 6 trucks. So the costs were around $10,000 and the income was around $9,000, which is okay for us because our club, the people pay their money that we make these events happen, and we make it a low cost and not very expensive for the people. So we typically are negative on the events, and that's okay for us. So we had around 50 people in the staff team. We had, at that time, we used many PCs for the tournament systems because we are running a score-based tournament system. So every single score of every player had to be entered. And then, so we are running this so-called family mode. That means you do a ranking on every game and you get 40 points for the first and 39 for the second and so on, as many players as had played that game. I like this kind of tournament because it's not only you have to win, but it's also that second and third and fourth place, which is interesting. So if you're a good player on every game, but maybe not the best one, you win the tournament. Okay, we had many visitors, around 500 visitors and around 200 players. So it was a big tournament. Now we're coming to the problems. Around this building, they had tons of parking lots until 2 weeks before the tournament started. And when I moved over, I couldn't see. They said parking is no problem. There's lots of empty space around it. When I came over there, there was a huge construction. I said, they just started the construction. 20 years, there was nothing. Absolutely nothing there. And just 2 weeks or 3 weeks before our event, they started to put some gates over there, and no more parking there. Only 10 parking lots. Okay, thank you. 500 visitors, 10 parking lots. We luckily have a good transport system in Munich. Nevertheless, that was the first of many shocks. Go ahead. Hello. Okay, it was too slow. So where are the parking lots? That's what it says. Okay, next thing, you look, this was a well-organized and used by us already organized thing, and now you look how it looked inside there. You see it's all dirty. You see construction material over there. I said, what the hell is going on? Unfortunately, the fire police came there some weeks before that. This isn't a no-go. You have no air exhaust system or whatever. You have don't have this and you don't have that and whatever. So they got new regulations and they had to fill this. And even 3 days before our events, 3 days, it looked like a huge construction area. You see all the stuff lying over there. There was no carpet on the floor, no nothing. It was a huge construction area. And we were coming with the games already, and it was still a construction area. No. So we had to store the games when we came in a different place there. So that was a so-called Orange House, which is another location that they're having. So they luckily had space over there, so we could bring in the games the first day at that place. And which is also very nice. This is the band kitchen. So this is typically a musical place. And that was the kitchen we could use also. And I wanted to sleep over there. Unfortunately, in the kitchen, the heating was full power. It was whatever. It was like I don't know how you call this, sauna. We call it sauna in Germany. It was extremely hot in this thing. I don't know, understand. This was completely broken. And the bulb over there was 25 watts, so you couldn't see anything, and it was very hot. And then we wanted to do our planning sessions over there. Crazy. So it's still the location was not cleaned. But we started to set up the games while the people were still doing the construction. This picture was taken, I think, 2 in the morning. I don't know. Maria, whatever, 3:29. Okay. It was my son's birthday. I should be home already for the morning breakfast, and I went home. Breakfast came place, and you see, construction still ongoing. The guy is on the ladder. There is still construction ongoing. And you see, we are offloading the games. And unfortunately, we set a TV team. You can take movies while we are installing, setting up the game. This is not a good idea, because I was driving the truck backwards and said, no, please go back again. We did not start the camera. And I said, I have no time for that. I have to set up the games. No, please move, go back. I said, no, I don't do this. I don't have time for that. We had lots of arguing with these TV people, also during the tournament later on. Some people were very annoyed by them. They're coming up with the light, with full light in front of the player while he was playing for the finals. Very nice. These TV people are sometimes really crazy. So now we are coming closer, 12 hour before the EPC. Ah, funny. This is also very nice here. You see the letter over there, Flipper Mania. You see the P, the second P has a different color. Can you imagine why? Because my friend made all the letters, but he forgot the second P. We said, Chris, there's a spelling mistake in that. No, that can't be. Chris, there's a spelling mistake. Oh, yeah, I forgot the second P. But unfortunately, the blue color was out, so the P had to go in a different color. But we were just joking. We were so tired and laughing about this. You see, all the Pinball 2000 games are in place. But so this doorstep was the whole problem. The fire police said, if this is not done, the whole thing cannot be. You can go home. So there was the final check, and they said, you can go home. Everything has to be closed. Nobody is allowed to go there. If this doorstep is not in a way done, they wanted to do. I don't know exactly the details, but I know this step. Still remember, this doorstep was a problem. And I think that it needs to be closed for smoke or something like that. The smoke cannot go there. Anyhow, they finally did this. If the last checkup for this guy was on Friday afternoon, and we started Saturday morning, and he said, "Okay, that's fine, it's done." I can't imagine what would have happened. All the people were already coming from. It was the EPC, though. That most of the people were coming from around all over Europe, not only from Germany. I'm traveling to Munich to hear. No, you can't play. That would have been really bad. So this is a very nice picture, but I think this is from the crane. From the crane, one is called Crane Hall, because that was originally a construction area. So this is taken from top to down. You see these games are looking really like miniatures, like tiny games, but these are real Bally games. This is also a very nice picture. I like that. So that was the free play area for the public and not the tournament area. See, last test games are done. So this is the cash desk, and even with a watchdog. Huh? Isn't that good? So I just, this is mine. For example, the guy in the red shirt is my neighbor, and the others are from German Pinball Association's other member. Here you can see already the monitor, second monitor for the Pinball 2000 tournament system. So the inside is a PC of Pinball 2000 with a network card, and there you can see your ranking, whether you are qualified for the finals or not. We put this in front of it. And you might have seen Mr. Geiger here. He was at the expo, I think, 2 years ago. So Hans Geiger is one of the, I would say, the characters in the German pinball scene. Besides Hans Rosenzweig, who worked for Nova, he is one of the other guys. So he was always a little bit different. So he founded Geiger Automaten. And I spoke to him some weeks ago. And he said in his family, they are having a big construction, huge construction business. So they are having trucks all over Bavaria. You see Geiger, you also always see the sign Geiger. They also wanted him to join this business because this is the whole done by his family. And he said, no, I want to go into the coin-op business. They said, are you crazy? And the coin-op, this is no good, the coin-op business. This is something different. But he stayed in the business. And he did all these conversion kits. Some people might know this, especially the famous Wildschütz, which is very funny with this guy on the back glass. He still has some of these kits and sells them, and therefore you can see some of the conversion kits are set over. Most of them are from the early Bally games, but he also has a high-speed conversion kit. One more other Williams game at least. So he had some funny ideas. Also, in his entrance of his company, there's a Terminator game, which has a self-leveling play field. That means the longer you play, the steeper the play field gets. Because his idea was for good players, they get playing too long, and then the play field's getting higher and higher, and it's getting harder and harder to play. And when you start the game, the play field gets back in the original position. Very funny idea. He's always coming up with new ideas. Sometimes he shows me things and I say, maybe it's not so good or maybe it's good. You still can buy parts of him, and he even ships to the big companies. So, yes? What are the titles? That's a good question. The left, far left is Lady Death, which is conversion kit of Matahari. The center thing, I think this is the Wildschütz, I don't know exactly. Yes, I think so. This is the center one, which is in the center with the lady and the bearded guy on top. I think this is the Wildschütz. On the right side is the... No, I don't know. I don't know exactly. Wraithstar? Yeah, I think this is, yeah. I think this is it. The Internet Pinball Days database is quite good. I think if you enter Gaia, you can see it. I just did a big buy of kits for people in Germany. So I think we bought 12, 14 kits for different people, which are still where the kids' play fields and glass and plastics are still available. So they are around 300 plus something euro. He's still selling what he has. And even here for the Black Knight conversion, which is with the knight. For this kit, he even reproduced the back glasses because they were all broken. I think he produced the back glasses. So he's still doing things like that. And he's, I don't know, 60-something at least. And he's a very nice guy, really. You see, this is a picture of him. And this is already a while ago. So this is the tournament area of the EPC. And so we had an open championship, so we also had in Team USA. So you see Lyman, for example, which you well know. So Team USA, so we had a team championship, and third place for Team Germany. This is actually me on the right side. Wow, I'm on the pictures. Didn't know. Second place for Team USA. And amazing first place for the Hungarian team. This mainly because of Christian Schalai, who's in the middle, who's really, you know him also very well, and you know the Hungarians. And they are funny, huh? And you met them in Dresden, many of them. Yeah, Christian is a very nice guy. He's a postman in the Hungaria, and I think he earns whatever, 450 or something like this. This is really not very much. So typically they sleep in the car, or when they go to tournaments, they ask whether they can sleep in the tournament room for the next day because it's so expensive for them. So actually, as I said, we had this Pinball 2000 tournaments. I think this was the highest amount of Pinball 2000 games being at one location after the Williams closed down, and after the big Pinball 2000 tournament we had in Germany organized by Nova, where we had around 50, I don't know, Pinball 2000s. So we had at least, I think, 10 Revenge and 2 Star Wars, or 3 Star Wars, I don't know, all connected to the tournament server. And it mostly worked. Sometimes the game needed a reset, but looking at the fact that all this tournament software was developed, I don't know in how many weeks, but not many, before the Pinball Expo, it worked quite well. These are even more Star Wars. I didn't remember. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Star Wars. Wow. I didn't remember that.
5 Star Wars, 6 Revenge.
Ah, something. Okay. So, right. Thank you. So these were the... So now there comes the story, the bad story. The bet, not bad, but funny. So we were working hard during that day of the tournament, and we, as I said, we had the crew where normally the bands are playing, and they sleep. They have some rooms to sleep. I think 3 bedrooms, with each 2 or 3 beds. And at night, so I was my friend Wolfgang, who unfortunately passed away beginning of this year. We were the last to go into bed. And when he went to his bed, there was already somebody in. So there was a Dutch guy who went to the tournaments very often. He did not have very much money. So he just said thought it's a good idea to find a bed somewhere and just enter the bed. So he was sleeping there. I said, oh my goodness, what shall we do? I can't remember what we organized, but we left him sleeping somewhere, I think on the floor or whatever, left him there and said, this is a pinball guy, it's okay, he can tell you. But nevertheless, it's not so nice to have somebody sleeping in your bed. Actually, I forgot his name, what his name was. It's like a name of a perfume. I forgot. Max Factor is his name, right. Max Factor is his name. Remember him? He was a very nice guy. I liked him very much, but that was really funny of him sleeping in the bed. So you see single tournament, second round, very crowded, many people playing. Was this Freddy over there? Yeah, that's Freddy. Okay, you see, as I said, this is a score-based tournament. We needed really lots of people to just enter the scores of all the players. That's really a challenge. And it's very dangerous because if you just lose one digit, if you add one digit, you get the high score. And if you are missing one digit, then it's nothing. So at the end, we needed to do a lot of review on the scores, check for the highest and the lowest scores, whether these were false entries over there. Later. So next story. I promised to Tom Huben, who was participating at this event, I promised we go to the Hofbräuhaus. So in the middle where the tournament was running, I said, okay, now we take the car and the Galaxy car, which you already know, and we drive over to the Hofbräuhaus just for a beer. So you see, I'm looking really tired. But we had fun. We were sitting actually with Americans at the table there. We just grabbed the table and they were very interested. They were, oh, you are pinball people. I think they came from Florida or something like that. And what Tom probably remembers is that I took the wrong side of the road. So there was a construction area, and they took the wrong side where it said one way. And then was a car coming from the other side. They say, okay, it's the wrong side. Nothing happened. Everything went well. So this is the Pinball 2000 was the finals then. I don't know who won this tournament. Ah, Neil Schatz won the tournament, and I'm looking so tired. So this is, then there, we had lots of discussion before that whether we wanted to play a final or not. Because I said this is the Swiss tournament system and we want to have this, and in principle the best player is the best player. So if you play a final, is this really fair? Because they play, you play one day with whatever many games, 11 games on and 11 different machines. So we decided this is the final ranking. So Martin Pfeiffer was the European champion, a German, luckily. And nevertheless, I said we play a demo final for the prizes. So the qualifying was done. We, that was the compromise at the end. After a tough discussion between the GPA, we said we just play a demo final for the prizes to win, but these were the scores. And Martin Pfeiffer went to German TV, actually, for being the European champion. So I told these guys, you have to play now for the prizes. So you see, this is a backlash of the Wildschutz, which is one of the prizes. It was actually the complete set of the Wildschutz, which was one of the prizes which you could select. And I said, before you can play this, you have to unbox a game first. Because I had a game which was sitting in the box already quite a while, and they had to unbox it. It was a Roller Coaster Tycoon, and it was in the game since, in the box since, when was it? Roller Coaster 2003? Something like that. So it was. I got this from for a very good price, 2000 at that time, and they unboxed it. It was working. And you see Lyman playing here. And actually, Lyman also won, and he could select the prize first. But interesting, the first prize, which was the most valuable thing, was taken by the sixth. It was the PSP and this Gottlieb pinball game, which was out there at the time, which we got for free. But the sixth guy took this. So you know these two guys? This is Tom and Lyman. And actually what was very funny for me is that they had my linked NBA games over there, and they said they had not played this against each other after they developed the linked software, so they did a match at the games, which I liked really much, appreciated. They played my games. Very cool. So you see, Tom is very, very engaged to fight against Lyman. So I actually did not know that these special menu there. Roger, how do you get into that menu? Do you know that? I also don't remember. I have to ask Tom how to get into this menu to get this. This is a special scorer where you can enter your employee number or something like that. I forgot how this is working and how to get.
There are always lots of Easter eggs.
Okay, so when APC was over, we started to tear down the games, and we had to remove everything till the next day. So we were working all through the night, and what was really, really funny, everybody was so tired, but everybody came up with funny pinball quotes like quit playing with the clock or gone fishing or whatever. Everybody had a funny quote at midnight about each of the games we were carrying around. That was really a cool thing. Funhouse is closing. Yeah, right. Okay. You see here me in the truck. And Pinball 2008, yeah, 8 Pinball 2000 in one truck. Okay, that's the final question. What needs more fuel per hour after midnight? A truck loaded with pinball machine or me driving this truck? I needed lots of coke. I had 4 or 5 days almost with zero sleep. Thank you very much for listening. Yes. Do you have any questions? Do you want to come to Germany?
Where did you get all the 50,000 sheets?
Actually, Nova Games, I think they ordered 60 to 70% of the Revenge production for the European market. So therefore, Revenge was very, very popular. For a long time, you saw... In arcade, there was Pinball, there was Revenge from Mars. And also, especially also Gauselmann had an own arcade group, and in every of these arcades, there had a Pinball 2000. Nova Games did actually a very good advertisement for that. They even hired a marketing guy, which is called Mr. Schmidt, and he did a great marketing. They started at the Atari show in London, where the game was presented, and from then on, they did a lot of work, spent a lot of time and money and work to promote Pinball 2000. They did a great job, and that is the reason, therefore, so many games were in Germany. And I have the pinball2000.de website and the owner's list of Revenge and Star Wars, and you see many games which went back to the United States, but originally they were stamped for Europe, so many were re-imported to the US because the US market was not so big as the European one. Actually, this is another story. I have 5 more minutes. Another Easter egg story just about Pinball 2000. I have a file over there from the 1999 summer convention that we have. That was organized by Roland Nietzsche, who's sitting over there. And he's one of the craziest guys you can imagine. For example, he did not bring his keys for his games, so they were all set up, and the next days the games were broken and he had the keys at home. So everybody was saying, what can we do? There's no coins on it. Yeah, you have to draw coins in the games if you want to play, okay. And then, so we had this guy, Mr. Schmidt from Nova Games, who did the marketing. He flew over to Stuttgart Airport. We fetched him from the airport. He had a laptop and a beamer there, which was very new, and in that time it was absolutely, I think it was a you needed an overhead projector to put this on top, and then you could connect it to a portable computer or something like that. So he was dressed with the smoking and whatever, dressed with a, what is it called, tie. With a tie, so everywhere, and he wanted to show his Pinball 2000 concept with how to take out the playfield and so on. And of course, he asked before, do we have something where we can put it on the screen, so I don't know how you call this, a white screen or whatever, to project. And Roland said, no problem, we have it. And then we wanted to set up. He said, no, I have nothing. I said, this can't be. I have nothing. Then Roland brought what from his mother. It was, a blanket with roses on it. So it was a little rose, a blanket with roses. Now imagine me as a president from the German Pinball Association, this guy coming with a tie and a beamer, and we have him show the slides on a rose blanket. Oh my goodness. That was really crazy. More questions? Okay, Ramona, come up with the stuff. Then this is the last thing. I said this is bring me the bag. Shall I say it in German? Okay, so I have some giveaways here, thanks to many people who gave this to me. For example, who likes an original Williams Bally Midway plastic bag? This is probably not many, so if somebody likes this, or this is original from the 1999 Williams Factory Tour. One of the giveaways was this Midway bag together, where you could get your goodies in here. Then, not to forget, Roger remembers them very well. This is the pinball, the original 3-day game. Larry knows them as well. So these are numbered. They're having serial numbers. You made 500, and so these are a few of them. So if you like one of these, and next, what do I have next? If you like. A Revenge for Mars. If you like a Revenge for Mars, where is this gone? This 3D thing. I would like to see this as well. Do you have one at home? You need the or a key fob set, Revenge for Mars, or we have two other key fobs here from Junkyard, whatever. And if you like a Safecracker token, Or not to forget a Jim Pettler autogram card. If somebody likes it, there are more. If you find Jim Pettler, then you can make him sign this. And this is from this year, where we had Jim Pettler in Germany, and some of my friends created this autogram card. If you like this, this is as many are here, you can take it, and if you catch him, take an autogram from him. And last but not least, who has a Cactus Canyon? And who is missing the plaque? The first one that comes. The number, if you have the matching number, this is good. This is a 116 here.
Too late.
If you send me, I have one more at home, and if you, we can negotiate something, and then if you like one as well, you can get it. Actually, these plaques, you know where these plaques in Germany, where they went? They went into the trash of Nova Games container. And I had somebody, luckily, who found them and recovered them. Otherwise, they would have gone forever. Okay, as I said, if somebody likes their valuable pin, the international Safecracker tokens, I have different here, brand new, out of the box. I bought this at Nova. If somebody likes one per person, would be okay. They are different here, so you can select. And that's the end of the show. Thank you very much for listening.